exclaims there'll be nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace were being tried.
We begin the second hour of Off the Beaten Path. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is October 30th, 2022. Our phone line is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Again, the protocols. If you want to contact me, I'd be happy to send those over to you. That's offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com. Happy to do that. You know, when you're sick and you're a lot of pain, boy, I tell you what, I just hate being sick. I've done a lot of research lately on the whole kidney stone thing. Boy, I'm trying. I got all kinds of different things I'm trying now here. I'm actually going to test my water, test my well water, test the water that I fill up my big water cooler with. I'm going to do some labs on that to find out what the calcium intake and everything. And of course, the bottled water we may drink, which if I understand this correctly, spring water actually has lower calcium most of the time than other places you may get your water. Spring water has lower calcium. Typically, calcium in bottled water can be anywhere from 1 milligram to 138 milligrams per liter. Typically, they tell me that a spring bottled water, and I go with Zephyr Hills, is down here in Florida somewhere. And the reason I wanted to check it out, because my good friend Ron down here in Central Florida, whose birthday is today, by the way. Happy birthday, Ron. Had told me that since you're on a well, and of course the shale and everything, calcium, you may want to think about your well is just giving you too much calcium. And maybe your stone buildup is because your water intake, it's a lot of calcium. But typically, a spring water itself is about 21.8 milligrams per liter of calcium. It's not that high. So I'm going to do a little water analysis. I'm taking my water over, have my well checked, the water there, the three different sources of water that I take in. I'm going to find out what the level of calcium is. So I'm doing everything in my power that I can possibly. Of course, vitamins and dietary and things I can do to say I may have a familial history, a family history of kidney stones. But I can eliminate some other things, possibly, that may never push me over the edge where I'm back on my back again here in so much pain. It's a terrible, terrible pain. It really is. Like somebody takes a ice pick and goes behind you and sticks it in your side and then kind of wiggles it a little bit. It's that bad. Women will say who have kidney stones. Actually, men are more prone to getting kidney stones than a female, but a woman who gets kidney stones will say it's equal to childbirth. That's how bad it is. Well, it's a good thing we don't have children. We probably wouldn't have a population. So when I'm down and I'm sick, if in between trying to get my pain under control, I happen to catch this movie on TV. It's the third time I've watched this movie in the last 2 weeks. Maybe there's a reason why it just came on again and I'm supposed to watch it and supposed to watch it. And supposed to watch it. It's kind of like Shawshank Redemption. It was on this the other night, too. And my wife says, what'd you change the channel for? And then Shawshank's on. Oh, Shawshank. How many times have we seen this movie? Too many times, but I always see this movie, and I always learn something new. It's something I never saw before. But this movie I watched a couple days ago. It's been on third time's a charm. It's called Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for Real. And Greg Kinnear is the main actor in it. It's a good movie. It's based on a true story of a little boy. He was sick. I believe it was appendix burst. And in surgery, he'd actually kind of left his body. He didn't actually die by vital signs to tell you he was dead and leave his body an out-of-body experience. But he actually, I don't know how, but he left his body enough to watch the team working on it to save his life. Saw his father in the prayer room yelling at God, saying, "Don't take my son, don't take my son." Saw his mother crying on the and talking on the telephone. And the kid survives. He comes back and tells of his trip to heaven. It's a very touching movie. If you watch the movie, you don't bat an eye and you don't have any little misty eyes, there's something wrong. You don't have a heart in your chest. It's that good, but I always learn something new when I watch this movie. So there must have been a reason why I watched this movie for the third time. Check it out sometime. Heaven is for Real. It's a good movie. It's a nice feel-good movie. I love movies like that. Forget the blow it up and chopping off head stuff. I can't stand that stuff. Of course, we have Halloween tomorrow night. By the way, I will not be doing my show, The National Intel Report, tomorrow night. I brought in Steve Starrs again, my good friend Steve Starrs. He's going to do the show. And Ron McDonald gets the day off. He'll be taking his grandchildren around the neighborhood for trick-or-treating and doing that whole thing, the Day of the Dead, and getting sweets and candies and increasing dental decay and all that good stuff for the dentist to take care of later on. So I will be off tomorrow night. I'll be doing my yearly annual ritual here. I do it every Halloween night. I've been doing it for the last 6 years in a row here in Florida, and I think close to 10 years now, California and combined between California and here. I've revised an old tradition back when I was a kid growing up, and my father and I would sit down on Hollywood night, and I'd hand candy out, but we'd have the stereo on. My father and I would sit back and listen to Orson Welles in the Mercury Theater, the 1938 live broadcast. Well, at that time, well, it wasn't live, but it was a rebroadcast of Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater's War of the Worlds. My father, when I would sit down, we'd listen to it, and the doorbell would ring. It's your turn, you know. But we listened to it together. It was a great father and son experience, and I revised it because it's not taking place anymore around the country. This was a tradition everywhere when I was a kid growing up. Oh, you're going to listen to it? It's dead. It's a gone tradition, unfortunately. And I brought it back to life. I brought it back to life, and I'm happy to do it. I give it a little pre-show. I play the entire broadcast. And then I give you a perspective, post-broadcast perspective, of things I've learned along the way. Because at the time this was live going on, my father was 15 years old. He remembered it quite well, and getting phone calls of panic on the phone. My God, we're being invaded, you know, these aliens coming down. And my father, being the man he is, he's always been a man of logic, common sense. And he listened, he goes, no, that's a radio show. It's a radio show. But I'll talk about that more in depth on tomorrow night. But I'll be away just for Monday night. I'll be back the following Monday. And we'll do again, on the 7th of November, a tribute to John Stabmiller in memory of. And I'm going to go back, and we're going to find some good clips for 1 hour of just going back and forth and maybe a little bit of argumentative type stuff here. And John and I, you know, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. And then the second hour, we'll open it up to your calls and your comments and your just if you want to voice something about John. A good feel, you know, something. I just want to make that your, this is a listener appreciation, you know, kind of concert show here. So I definitely want to bring you into the loop here of being part of the show. And we all sit back laughing, and I don't want to do any crying and stuff, but I do want to do some, you know, laughing and reflection and going back and thinking about John. And I miss him. I really do. I mean, he's in my studio right now. I look up there on the wall, and I've made my office my studio. Oh, I love my studio. One side is all music, autographs from all the musicians I've interviewed over the years, autographed to me, instruments on the wall, a lot of instruments on the wall. It's just my paradise. This is my man cave. Wife never comes in here. She never comes in here. Got a picture of me skydiving on the wall over here. It's just my haven here. But on the wall, straight ahead of me, I have a nice big giant wall clock here, the flag upside down there, and some swords from my grandfather. John Stabmiller in a corner next to Edward Snowden and Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. Now, this is my paradise. This is where I love to come and just sit and look and reflect and remember. So John's still here with us. He's still with us. He's in my studio right now. Let's open the phone lines up again, 512-248-8252. Let's I had some conversations, quite a few texts. I really get some good back and forth with, while I was sick, but in the last couple of days, some really good back and forth with text with Dr. Peter McCullough. I love this guy. I really appreciate him. I appreciate all those who have stuck their neck out. I got to say, he's probably the guy that stuck his neck out the most to bring attention to COVID, early treatments, post-treatments, everything you can think about. The guy's sharp, sharp as a tack. I got some bad news this morning, though. And I pull up on my phone here the text, and I sent it over to him. I got to, from another source, my friend in Missouri. Oh, he had lots of texts back and forth, he and I did, Dr. McCullough. But the text I received this morning, yeah, here it is, from the DCPatriot.com, world-renowned Dr. Peter McCullough stripped of his board certifications in internal medicine and cardiology because he won't endorse the jab. So I texted to him right away. I said, it just came to me from my source from Missouri. And my suggestion, and I'm quite open, frank with everything. We go back and forth. We share a lot of stuff. I said, let's take this to court right now. Let's take this to court. Bring in the experts and the evidence, and let's dissolve and punish these boards. Hippocratic oath, do no harm. We follow it. They disregard it. Establish new health and medical boards that are not funded, and controlled by government or the pharmaceutical industry. This means war. Last week I talked about the timing of everything, what's going on. We've got people coming forward, doctors, disciplines everywhere, science institutes, you name it. Everybody seems to have figured out this shot is a poison. It's not a vaccine, it's poison. Myocarditis, prion disease. I want to talk about that a little bit here. Prion disease. Really serious stuff here, because I have a funny feeling this brain disease, these prion diseases, which is a spongiform disease itself, is in the same category as Jacob Crutch's disease and also mad cow disease. And I got a funny feeling a lot of these elderly in the nursing homes are dying from a prion disease caused by the COVID shot itself. So nobody's doing autopsies. They just say, oh, he died of old age, or they were sick, or let's just throw it at COVID. But the vaccine is causing so, not vaccine, the shot is causing so many problems here, and it's causing death. No doubt about it. SADS was created for an excuse. Flat out, that's exactly what it was. SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, was created as an excuse to explain young people just dropping dead. Flat out, that's exactly. I've been in medicine 30 years, and I know all about SADS, the original SADS. The original SADS is sudden arrhythmia. Arrhythmia, the A is arrhythmia, not adult death syndrome. And it's usually familial. It runs in a family line, and it's always associated with an electrical conduction problem in the heart. Not caught, progresses, and leads to that person to exercising, and then a lethal arrhythmia, probably ventricular tachycardia. They drop dead or they die in their sleep. So I know all about this. I've lost two or three people to a true SADS, and that's sudden arrhythmia death syndrome. So I want to talk more about these texts I've got with Dr. Peter McCullough. He didn't respond to this one yet, but they've stripped him of his board certifications now, which means I'm gonna give him a call. Forget the text. I'm gonna give him a call. I'm gonna see if I can bring him on the network here. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if we had Dr. Peter McCullough had a spot on the network? Wouldn't that be awesome? Huh. Now, I might throw that at him to see, hey, you want an hour? You want 2 hours? Probably a good hour. We could get a lot of information that way. Let's go back to the phones. We got a couple calls lining up here. Daryl in Georgia, welcome to the show. Daryl, are you there? Daryl in Georgia. Going once. We got him? Okay, let's keep emailing on if you can. Let's go to our next caller, Sherry in Kansas. Sherry in Kansas.
Hey, Steve.
There you are. What's on your mind, hon?
The boards. Are you talking about, is this something through the AMA or is this something else?
Yep. The licensure oversees
the
physicians.
AMA just the glorified... isn't it just a union?
Oh no, nothing at all. No, it's supposed to be the oversight, and of course they're supposed to rein in physicians who go rogue, evidently, and cause harm to their patients. And so it's kind of like a board discipline. A lot of people aren't happy with their doctor. Excuse me, they may file some complaints with the medical board. The medical board then looks over the incident, looks over what actually happened with the physician, may even call the physician in and say, well, you know, give some testimony what happened here. And he may do that. And it's one of those punitive type situation here. We're talking about administrative regulatory law and punitive. They have the power, evidently, to suspend your license, or they can pretty much take your license altogether. So,
who appointed him?
Say it again.
Who appointed him?
That's a good question. It's government appointed, far as I know. It's not private. It's most likely funded by government, because government's whispering in their ear, telling them what to say. These boards, and I'll include my own board, the nursing boards are crap, especially in California. They're crap.
Are you familiar with the Flexner report?
The Flexner?
Yeah.
No, I am not.
Okay, what this was, and this is back in the, these two brothers, the Flexner brothers, one was supposedly a doctor, and the other one was a lawyer, and I believe under the auspices of... Rockefeller, but it might have also been Carnegie in on it too. But I think it was mainly Rockefeller, and he had them go around to all these schools, medical schools in the United States, and at the time there were homeopathic, I believe there were chiropractic, there were herbal, and then they made this report, and then Rockefeller started funding the medical school, the so-called medical schools, the ones he wanted to, because this was a time that he was wanting to push drugs that he was making with his oil, his petroleum products mainly. And so he was only funding these schools, and somehow, you know, he was able to, you know, pretty much make the homeopathic and the herbal schools go out of business or something. And I don't, and I believe that's how the AMA got into business. And I don't think they are, well, I don't know, but I don't think they're really government approved or, you know, funded by the government.
Well, I think, like I said last week, I think the timing is just perfect now. Like I said, we're like gangbusters now. We've got the information now. We've got the information to, let's get this to court. Let's show the documentation. Let's show you what the CDC has been holding back and will not let be known about how dangerous these shots are. The VAERS reports underestimated. Let's show all the information here. Let's bring on the lawsuits. I think it's timing. The timing is perfect now to dissolve these boards, find them criminally accountable for what they've been doing here. They are certainly being run by government and special interest group corporations, the pharmaceutical industry. They are not doing the work on the behalf of the people, the public health. They are not working for public health for us. They are working for the corporations in this government. This is genocide. We've got the proof now. We've got the proof. To hell with this medical board. Excuse me, but hell with this medical board. It is, we're going to dissolve it. And let's dissolve some of these nursing boards too, because this administrative regulatory law here of punitive damages and setting you up like a car payment for punishing you. I've seen doctors who've given orders to a nurse. Nurse wrote it down. The doctor came back and said, I never gave that order. So now we have this new rule here at the hospitals. Most every hospital has this. If you give me an order over the phone, I have to have another nurse come verify it. Say, hey, listen in on the phone call here. Yes, okay. Now we both sign on that we signed the order that it was an order over the phone, telephone order. And but I've had doctors come back before we started this protocol, lie through their teeth and said, I never gave you that order. Then it's turned over to the medical boards, the nursing boards, to say, on your licensure, you're practicing medicine without a license. You didn't have order to give that medication. I'm telling you, the doctor gave me the order over the phone. Whose word are you going to take? They take the doctor's word over the nurse. They set you up, put you on probation, give you a payment book, and tell you, pay us $200 a month for the next 3 years to keep your licensure, and you may now have restrictions on your license. These people are not in the business of working with nursing. They're not in public health. They are a punitive action group of ex-washed-up nurses and some doctors, definitely nurses, I know that, who haven't practiced in 15 years. And they have power now. Power to restrict and power to take away your license and put you on probation. I've seen lots of nurses who have lost their license or been suspended and given the payment book because a doctor lied through his teeth to say, I never gave that order.
Well,
get me hot. Get me hot on that.
And it's not surprising that they take the doctor's word and not the nurse's word. And
well, they're not taking the doctor's word for anything now.
Yeah,
it's reversed now. They're not taking the doctor's word for anything now.
You know, I remember Jennifer Daniels talking about when she went to medical school, be a doctor, and she said they just make you sleep deprived. They push you so hard, and it's like they don't want you to think, you know, and question anything they're teaching you.
Well,
and
I tell you what, I know a lot of physicians who are getting out. A lot of physicians are getting out now. They're quitting. Not only because they have a conscience, they have chosen ethics over economics. They realize what they've been told. They're told, do this or else you lose your job. Now, how does that make you feel? Years and years and years of education, experience, knowledge, and you're telling me I can't question anything. I must go along with the narrative. But I have information in true science that conflicts with the narrative you want me to say. My conscience, personally, myself, you can take my frickin' license and shove it up where the sun don't shine, because I'm not going to blow sunshine up anybody's butt and tell them this stuff is okay, it's safe and effective, go ahead and take it. I'm not going to do that. I have a conscience. And for all those nurses out there who feel the same way I do, and those doctors, I salute you. I commend you for having the courage to call a spade here and practice what you preach, the Hippocratic oath, do no harm. If this is what it's come down to, hell with it. I'm done. I'll walk away. I'll find something else I do, or I'll just retire. But I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to sell out. This stuff is poison. It's poison. They're pushing on our children. It's poison. It's experimental. It's a bioweapon. We can prove that. If we can find an honest law, an honest judicial system here, we can make that case. It's time to take these people down. Hold them accountable. This is genocide. By the year 2025, we are going to see a huge, huge dent in this population dropping. We're going to lose a lot of people between now and 2025. Now, you remember the Agenda 2030. They're going to reach that goal earlier. They're going to kill off a bunch of people. And you know what's going to happen is They can't space them out far enough, the dead people. They're going to lump up. You're going to notice dead people, dead people, dead people. Oh, my God. Families. We're losing people. We got more diseases, neuro diseases. We got more cancers. We got more autoimmune disorders. We got people dying here. You can't call that sudden adult death syndrome. Dr. Peter McCullough and I agreed. I said it before. He said it. He has a bigger audience than I do. But when you have young, healthy people with no comorbidities, no underlying health problems, that are healthy and suddenly die soon after taking a COVID shot, you must show that that is the causation of the death until ruled out by autopsy or chemistry labs. It must be causation because they were healthy prior to that. So I think the timing is right. I think the timing is there. Let's take it to court. Let's get our soldiers in line here. All the disciplines, all the real scientists, they don't want to challenge us. They don't want to debate us because they know we're right. It's time to take these people down, dissolve these boards, and come up with new boards that are not government-funded and are not funded by the pharmaceutical industry here. Talk about a conflict of interest here. Jeez.
Well, and the whole thing to getting them licensed was so they could control them, because they say the definition of a license is the permission to do something that is otherwise
and you know what the sad part about it is, and Ron McDonald and I had this conversation before many times, licensure does not equate to competency.
Competency, yeah.
It does not. I've met some moron nurses. I wouldn't let them take care of me. They got through nursing school, maybe with some kind of, you know, one of those factory type situations here. I don't know where they went to school, but my program was pretty tough. It challenged me thinking, and I decided to go off into critical care and ER anyway. So I wanted even more challenge. But some of these mills, these nursing mills, these foreign nurses, I wouldn't let them touch me. But licensure does not equate to competency. It's simply asking permission. It's like a closed shop union per state. Can I work in your state? Sure you can. If you pay us the money, we'll allow you to work here. It does not equate to competency. It is a scam and a half just to generate money. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, and that's why I'm picky about. I don't hardly ever go to a doctor. I went to a doctor for prolotherapy for a joint problem, and it really helped, but I hadn't been to a doctor in years. And, I mean, a lot of years. And I just take care of myself, but I've learned to take care of myself. So, you know, anyway. But I don't think they're, it's sort of like the bar, you know, for lawyers. I think it's just a trade union, really.
Yeah,
it's got
agree.
Legal sanctions. Anyway, that's all I had. Thanks. Bye.
I appreciate the call. Stay tuned. Short commercial break. More of your calls. We got a few more here. And let's see if Daryl and George is back with us yet. I'm not sure. Stay tuned.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Remember the 8th of November. We either sweep this thing or we're looking at a stolen election again here. And then what is next? What's next? I know down here, Charlie Crist doesn't have a shot in the dark here. DeSantis, I'm not sure why Keith Benelli has flyers for DeSantis. Tons and tons of flyers. Unless, if this thing is stolen down here in Florida after what DeSantis has done for us down here in, you know, stopping the mandates and all this nonsense with COVID shutdowns and lockdowns, is that would be a major steal, which would cause probably a revolution down here in my state. I can't see that happening, but I'm not sure why he's spending so much money on all these flyers I keep getting. You know, he's going to win by a landslide. Talking about his competition, who believes that Biden could be the greatest president we've ever had. Based on what? What a stupid thing to say. Shoot yourself in the foot. Inflation, food inflation, everything inflation, energy prices, everything is going in the wrong direction here. And you have the nerve to say this guy could be the greatest president we've ever had in our lifetime. What a dumb thing to say. He could make dog catcher down here. And it looks like we got a name change here. It wasn't Daryl. It wasn't Dimebag Daryl. It is JR in Georgia. JR, welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir. Thank you for having me this evening. I must apologize. I was late getting to the show this evening, and you may have already covered these subject matters, but I think and I hope and pray we're on the verge of all this misinformation in regards to COVID is about to be unleashed. The one thing I would like to say to all the listeners, let's not use MSM anymore, Major mainstream media, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
They are corporate media.
You know, that's actually great saying that. It's not mainstream. It is corporate media. Yeah. Well said.
Because
well said.
Even on my sports streams that I see, I continuously see Pfizer and the shots being advertised over and over again. So it's corporate media. It's not mainstream.
Yeah.
It's corporate. But the next point I want to get to, so your listeners or your other callers can get online, but I don't know if you're aware or not, there has been media, the alternate media, putting out reports that within the next 25 to 20 days, our diesel fuel supply in this country
25 days
is about to be extremely short.
Yeah. Saw that.
We're talking about a week or so before Thanksgiving. And this has not been reported by the corporate media.
They're not at all. This is going to jam up things even more so if you think about it. How much the trucking is going to be sacrificed and hurt here. The trains, the trains running itself, their own diesel. Even got cruise ships that are taking some of the supplies to run their ships out of our ports out here to go on their big cruises. That's diesel. This is serious. You're right. 25 days. You know, our strategic oil reserve, JR, is 714 million barrels underground, all protected. This is for emergencies. And we are now down to 500. Last time I looked on October 19th, we are down to, I believe, 530.1 barrels of oil. And he keeps releasing more and more, and then he pays a high price to get it back to fill it in, if he even does so. We are at 57% capacity now. Now, we've given a lot of our oil away. We have tons of oil in the ground we don't want to use because of green, the new Green Deal here. So we buy it from other places, or we squeeze other countries like Venezuela, or we tell the Saudis, increase your oil production. I mean, they really got us by the gonads here, and they're squeezing. They don't like America. I think they're tired of America being the bully that they are in the world. They've got it right where they want us. They control the flow, and we need it. And now we have all these log jams of our supply chain. This thing is a nightmare. And it's going to blow up even more so. And now you have your diesel only at 25 days left. This is huge. And you're right. Nobody is talking about it in the mainstream media. I heard it from Real America's Voice. The guys are at Studio 6B. Maybe even Steve Bannon talked about it. This is serious, serious stuff. 25 days left in supply of diesel.
Well, the one thing, too, is also... It's also being reported that the northeast region of this country, they've already started rationing the natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not able to get the supplies that they need. There is a bombshell that's going to, and I'm only guessing at this point in time, there's a bombshell about to happen after the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only... surmise that this is going to be one of the gasoline points that the Democrats are going to make in regards to their losses that they may or may not have in the midterms. They're going to point to the Republicans for being responsible for this particular circumstance that's about to happen. Because
well, you know, do you know what else? You know what else, JR, could even make this situation even worse? And we don't have it yet. I checked on the supply of it. But what if, for some reason, they halted or cut back on the supply of DEF, diesel exhaust fluid? Now we'd even be even a bigger trouble here because all diesel trucks need DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. Now, a tank full of that will give you quite a few miles, if I remember right. Like 6,000 miles. It goes a long ways. But what if they actually make a problem with the amount of diesel exhaust fluid available? On top of the diesel shortage itself, This is terrible. And this administration thinks they've done great and they can get back in and keep the House and the Senate. Like I said, I don't know, JR, if we're being set up. Because if they're boldly doing what they want to do, using the FBI as a criminal rogue operation here to do whatever they want, an entity to do whatever they want, disregarding the true law, disregarding the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and doing all these raids, if they steal this election, they may be just pushing the MAGA group to come unleashed, and then they'll have the reason to pull out the National Guard, maybe doing even a martial law or National Guard. This is serious stuff. I don't know what I really don't know what's going to happen on November 8th, but if this thing is stolen, hell hath no fury. I think it's going to be a revolution right soon after. If this thing is stolen and it's all purposeful to push us in that direction, look out. Look out.
Well, we had this conversation probably close to 6 months ago in regard to the DFU that you're speaking of. We, the alternate media, had reported this. And you're right. Is this something that's being done on purpose?
Yep.
Because ignorance cannot be this stupid.
No. Incompetence, they can't be this stupid. This is all very purposeful. No doubt about it.
Correct. And whatever the agenda is, the MAGA people that we speak of, and I'm one of them, we have patience. We're not radicals. That's been proven through the history of time. Mm-hmm. We are the people that get up, go to work every day, yep, earn a paycheck, yep, put yep, food on the table, keep the roof over the house, put the clothes on the back. We don't have time to march in the streets. But you're right. It's reaching a pinnacle point now that where individuals such as myself and millions others just wish to go to work, earn a paycheck, be with our families, celebrate life, and just live. But we are reaching that point that you just spoke of, that we may have to actually enter the streets at some point in time. And I'm not a Chicken Little that's going to call for the skies falling,
yeah,
like many many people on the right do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a lunatic. I'm patient. I will wait, and I will see, and I will read the information that I get. But it is quite obvious there is something wrong in our system of government as we speak today.
No, everything's going wrong. I mean, look at it. Have you ever seen more things go wrong? Which, like I said, you could claim incompetence. That would get people riled up and say, why would I vote for you again? Or you can say there's a purpose behind it all. We're doing all this in order to push you to green. And that's exactly where I think they're coming with it. That's exactly why they're doing it. They're limiting their energy sources. They're limiting this. They're forcing you. They're forcing these shortages to control you. No doubt about it. This is nothing can go this wrong. This in so many areas, it's impossible. This is all programmed.
Well, thank you for your time tonight, Steve.
You got it. Thanks for the call, JR. Appreciate it. We got four more in the loop here. We're going to skip the break and we're going to go right back to the calls. Somebody I haven't talked to in a long time. Roxanne in Texas. Welcome, Roxanne.
Hello, Mr. Steve.
How are you doing?
Well, for you, and it sounds like you have a bit of a congestion.
I do. It's there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
I know what it is.
What is it?
I want you to take a capful or a spoonful of apple cider vinegar, whether you take it by a teaspoon or put it in water. And I would like you to get Jen Daniels. Miss Sherry, she was one of your good callers tonight. I haven't listened for a long time. Miss Sherry is really on target, that lady. And get Jen Daniels, Dr. Jen Daniels. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. awesome. She's going to get the prions. And, you know,
yeah.
I did an out-of-body experience in 1976, mm-hmm. I was a young girl. It was The Godfather, the movie, The Godfather. Everybody knows mm-hmm. about that.
Sure.
Watched The Godfather in New Jersey in the mm-hmm. theater, and I had an odd. You talked earlier about somebody was having an out of body experience.
It was a movie called Heaven Is for Real.
Right.
With Greg Kinnear. Actually, it's a great movie.
Steve, yeah. I had an out-of-body experience. I didn't need to make a movie about mine. I'm just telling you, it happens. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I guess some people can make a movie out of it. But what happened to me, I was watching The Godfather mm-hmm. in 1976 in New York at a theater with about four different friends from the East Coast. I was from Michigan. Mm-hmm. John Stattmiller, I rest in peace, Johnny. Mm-hmm. And you asked about John, but yeah. Johnny, he's a Michigander. I'm a Michigander, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're gonna always love. And you know, he was a hard hitting and angry guy, but he was a loving, sweet man that got this thing on the air. Okay, this guy, John Stattmiller. As rough as he could be, we love him.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here mm-hmm. talking to you from California or wherever we're all from yeah. if it weren't for John Stattmiller.
I know.
And I got a email from Murr, mm-hmm. and she's a diehard, and she's a great gal. And Singola, a lot of people have gone, and a lot of people, but they're still here. They're still in our heart, and they're not going to go away. Prions, Pelosi.
You're never really gone. There's an old saying I used to like to say, and you're never really gone when you leave a smile and a memory behind.
I
can sit down, and I could just sit there for a second, and I'll start laughing. That's something
yeah.
I pulled on John, or John pulled on me, mm-hmm. and it always keeps him alive. It keeps his memory
but
alive.
But I know you, Steve. You love him a lot, and I'm not gonna not because he got mad at me a couple of times, and you got mad at me a couple of times.
I think I did. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. We had a difference of agreement, and but we don't relive that. We move on, and things are fine. I'm good. You're good.
No, but here's the deal. We still love each other, no matter, you know, we skip the fandango, whatever line. And I'm so proud that you're still just I'm out on the patio, but it's so good. And I think you should try to get a hold of Jen Daniels, because okay. your guest, Sherry, or the lady, the Flexner, Sherry's so on point.
Yeah.
You know, she was so, I mean, bulletproof.
Hey, Roxanne, we got to get moved. This, I got three more behind you. I got to get going, though. But
bye-bye.
I appreciate the call. You know, last year, the day that John passed away that morning, I got that phone call from Julie, your secretary. And she told me the whole scenario. He's in the ER right now. He's and they're working on him. I can see him through the little window. And they're working on him, Steve. And I knew that was a bad sign. That was a bad thing. I kind of knew that she would be calling me back shortly and saying that John had passed away. That was on November 5th, and what should have been a jubilant day, because it was my anniversary here at RBN. I've been here for another year, and here we're coming up on 6 years on November 5th, and I can't really celebrate that. I can't say, I've been with RBN 6 years now. It's always going to weigh on my mind as saying the 5th of November is John's passing. It's never going to be one of those celebration type situations, but I'm thankful for knowing him and him bringing me into the loop and our friendship that we had. He was a fun guy. We agreed, we disagreed, we loved each other. I miss him. And we're going to spend the 7th of November, and we're going to have a lot of fun on that show, and it may bring some tears, and I guess that's that's possible. It's bound to happen. But I also want to bring smiles to you, to your faces too, because he was a great guy. We had a lot of good times here, and we'll always keep him in our heart. And like I said, you're never really gone when you leave a smile and a memory behind. And that always seems to pep me up, to the smile and the memories. We laughed, had fun. So back to the phones. We got to get this done here and quick. Dan in Washington, you got to kind of make it fast. You got two more behind you.
Yeah, Harley Slanger. Didn't John have him on as a guest?
Yeah, I had him on, and I need to get him back. I'm glad you mentioned that. I need to get him back.
Do you watch on RT, there's a show called Worlds Apart.
Mm-hmm.
RT News, Worlds Apart, yeah. And he's actually on there as a guest in an in-depth interview.
I need to get him back. I need to get him back.
Yeah, I do.
I need to do that.
That's actually weird you guys mentioned him. That's basically all I had was if you wanted to see Harley Slanger, because I remember shows with him and John is one of my favorite
once
guests,
a month. So. Did once a month, and yep. I did it once, maybe twice after John left. And I can't remember how he fell through the cracks. I have no excuses, but something happened. I don't know. But thank you for
he's on RT. Yeah, he's on RT News if you wanted to check it out on that show. So.
I will. I wrote down right here now. Got it.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, back to the phones. John in California, you're on.
Steve?
John in California.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, John. What's on your mind?
Thank you. One of your previous female caller there was a little confused about state licensing boards. I'm not a doctor, but I'm an engineer, and I had to get a license from the state of California to practice electrical engineering. And it's they do, since you go to them and ask for a privilege, well, you've got to put up with what they say or do. They're not. My board doesn't do anything too spectacular. It's nothing compared to what's going on with the medical licensing boards relative all this subterfuge and all these really bad decisions.
Right.
Even as an engineer, I can see that there's something wrong with it. But the state passes a law or changes a law regarding paying income tax, and if I'm a non-filer and I don't pay income tax, they will come after me for my license.
Yeah, I know. I know that. Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I can only speak on the medical side of the licensure. I've known some morons who passed the boards. You know, passing the boards. Let's talk about passing the boards here before I get to my next call. I aced it. I aced the boards 100%. Was it challenging? To me, it wasn't. I'm thinking, all right, next question. Come on, throw me something good. I got critical care knowledge here. Throw something at me. Make me really, you know, and I nailed it. I nailed it 100%. I don't know how people nail it, the boards, and get a perfect score, but I got a perfect score. And you can pass with 75%, I think, with the nursing boards. And so you have a nurse who gets 75% of the questions correctly, and that's your nurse. How do you feel good about that? Do you feel good about somebody who only got a C, a 75% to be your caregiver? I don't feel good about that at all. So, but I've met some lousy nurses and some lousy doctors, and I've met some exceptional nurses and exceptional doctors in my career. But to me, it never equates to the licensure, never equates to the competency. The standard should be a little higher, a lot higher, I think. And it's not.
It's true in engineering. You know, it's all the state wants to do is they want to have another way to tax everyone, barbershops, people that grow certain types of food, all this other kind of garbage. You don't need shouldn't have to have a license to do that. You know?
No, that's ridiculous.
Just silly.
That's a union, closed shop union situation. You want to work here, pay us. It's corruption. Hey, I got to move on. I got one last caller here. Let's get to James in Vancouver. Thanks, John, for the call. James in Vancouver, you're on.
Yeah, research has shown, I was told this 20, plus years ago that the main two branches of professions that don't follow mainstream medical is engineers and lawyers. Okay, they don't follow participate in mainstream medicine if they can get an alternative, and that's something people should think about. As far as Peter McCullough goes, he probably didn't want to give you an email because he'd be on the record, and you're probably right. You better give him a phone call because I imagine they're watching his.
They are. They are. But you know, this is nice because I also texted him in the coming days with the whole purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk. Now he's going to clean house. He's given walk-in papers, and evidently he's going to 75% of the 7,500 people that are employed by Twitter. He's going to clean house. He's going to get rid of 75%. I like that. Twitter is going to reinstate Dr. Peter McCullough and anybody else, the frontline doctors. Right. Dr. Nina Simone is going to come back. Donald Trump will be back on Twitter if he wants to come back. He has a chance to really bring back free speech, your First Amendment rights, and sharing information, which we should all be doing. And anybody who's against that is a communist, as far as I'm concerned. So I texted that to him and said, hey, welcome back. You're going back to Twitter. And then 2 days later, I get the text saying, you know, from a source of mine in Missouri, saying his license has been pulled now. And he's a solid guy. He's a cardiac thoracic surgeon, cardiologist, internist. And wife and I were talking, and I said, you know, Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. And so now he's got to pass off all his clientele, all his patients, he's got to pass off to or tell them, find yourself another doctor. And to me, doesn't that go against the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm? Now you have delays in patients who now have to hunt down another doctor, understand and read their deposition here of what their problem lists are. We got a delay in care now. So this criminal board, as far as I'm concerned, this criminal doctor's board, who's punished Dr. McCullough, is punishing the patient. These are criminals on this board. They're criminals.
By the way, I tell you that up here in British Columbia now, I got to get a test for COVID before they'll give me antibiotics. New rule.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Hey, thanks the call, James. Appreciate you. Take care now. That completes our show this evening. I am not back in the studio Monday. Mr. Steve Starrs will be on. Ron McDonald's giving the day off. I'll be back on the following Monday, the 7th of November. Ooh, don't forget 8th of November. Voting time. We'll see. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your calls tonight. Health, happiness, and safe travels, everybody. We will talk again. Good night.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the